5, 4, 3, 2.
Hello, everyone. This is Jacob Popio, the producer of The Apex. In this episode, Jan, RJ, and I sit down to have a 5-minute rant on naysayers, but be mindful not to discount what they say. If you want to support us, there are 3 ways to do so. One is to donate to our cause at www.patreon.com/theapexpodcast. Second, visit our merch line that is proudly partnered with Envision Clothing Company at envisionclothingcompany.com. The final one is completely free. All we ask is if you learn something from this episode or know someone that needs to hear our message, share with them. Please subscribe and hope this pushes you toward your apex.
Welcome, Apex Chasers, to another episode of the Apex Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jan Almasy, and seated in the office with me today are my 2 partners in crime, my co-host and lovable, charismatic personality, Mr. RJ Holiday.
What's up, guys? Long time no speak.
Well, for them, it's only been a week, man. No. You can't give you keep giving away the fact that we have all of this other.
Hey, this.
Nothing's it's happening. Recording Everything magic. Is live. Mm. There's no post editing magic here at this podcast.
I haven't been here in a while. We've been work busy.
Yeah, and then our wonderful producer, Mr. Jacob Popio.
Hello, hello, hello.
So today, it's been a while since we've had the chance to vent, guys.
Mm-hmm.
It has been one crazy journey. This last part of 2019 going into 2020. For people that are going back and re-listening to this a while from now, it's actually February 6th, 2020 right now. And we are sitting in a 1920s themed office at Innovation HQ in downtown Canton, Ohio, in some amazing leather furniture purchased from South Carolina from a U.S. House of Representatives judge. And we'll dive into it, that whole entire
we're gonna have a whole episode kind of explaining.
Yeah. Just on all of that progress that has happened. So stay tuned for an episode to come out to explain all the little bits and pieces of how this came together. But in that time, we've encountered some things that deserve a 5-minute rant.
Bingo.
Bango.
Bongo.
So
I've got the timer ready.
Okay. So give me a second. Let me crack my neck. We'll kind of get into the zone here, and drum roll.
Start.
Whoop, off to the races. Okay, so here's my 5-minute rant. I hate naysayers, all right? This is why. So there's 2 different sides I'm going to approach this from, and this is kind of what I want your guys' opinions on.
Mm-hmm.
I hate naysayers that are directing their negativity towards somebody that has a dream. And I also tend to think that that person that has a dream has the potential to be a naysayer to other people. And this is that dynamic that I think is odd, because a lot of times people will be like, oh, I hate naysayers. And then they become one. Inadvertently, they become a naysayer and end up putting negative energy into somebody else's dream inadvertently.
Because it doesn't align with theirs?
Because it doesn't align with what their vision is. Gotcha. Or they feel like they're being intruded on because somebody else may have a similar idea.
Mm.
And they don't want to help them because they feel like they're going to lose out somehow.
Gotcha.
Right? So the people that are naysayers, that if you are somebody that is a little bit more conservative in your thought process and enjoys the 9-to-5 lifestyle, that enjoys what you do, that's perfectly fine. Everybody has a different definition of what happiness is, right? If your definition of happiness is working for somebody, having a stable income, you know, having a wife, a kid, having a Harley in the garage, that's fine. Do not look at somebody that's trying to venture outside of the box necessarily and completely disown whatever their idea is because they're not fitting into what the standard is for societal stuff. Like, I know a lot of people on both sides of the track. The easiest comparison I could think of was the Cole College versus trade school thing, where it's like a lot of trade school people are crapping on college kids and a lot of college kids are crapping on trade school people. We need both. You need both architects, like college educated portions of that, and you need tradespeople to make that vision come to life. And sometimes I think that they lose sight of that dichotomy, right?
Yeah.
The electrical engineers that are trade school certified electrical engineers would not have work without architects designing prints for buildings. Vice versa, the architect would not be around very long if nobody was building anything. Okay? Mm-hmm. So regardless of what a person is doing, if it's making them happy and they're pushing themselves to be a better version of themselves day in and day out, they're, you know, exploring different avenues, they're trying different iterations, they're actively trying to better themselves as a person, why in the world would you crap on what they're doing? It doesn't make any sense to me at all, where you're like, oh, you're this age and you still live with your parents, but that person is living with their parents because they're taking money and investing it into a dream that they have that could potentially take off, mm-hmm. right? Or they're being financially smart and they're saving up to buy a house rather than living in an apartment.
Money sink.
That makes sense, right? So yeah. You shouldn't be degrading that person because they're being smart just because they didn't move out to go to college and they missed out on the college experience and yada, yada, yada. I've heard that argument a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Or the person that did do that, and this is me, right, that moved out when they turned 18, is in a little bit of debt because they did that, but then also spent from the time they were 17 and a half, 18 years old to the time they were 24 living on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And that now has moved back and I live in right. my parents' basement because I'm reinvesting money in this.
Yeah.
But I did that purposefully, right? So my path might be a little bit different, but it's no different than what this other person is doing because it's what they thought was going to push them to be successful.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah.
So I'm going to end this with like...
You still got a minute.
Well, yes, I have a little bit of time, but I'm going to end this with what I think could be a potential solution, right? Because what ends up happening is that if you give in to the naysayer, then you become one and you start channeling that negative energy towards other people. And that gets dangerous because if you're in an entrepreneurial space, or you're trying to think outside the box or whatever you're trying to do. If you start absorbing that energy and projecting it, it gets really bad. Right. So what you have to do is you have to listen to the naysayer, but not act on what they're telling you. Because if you completely ignore them, they may have critiques that could genuinely help you. So you can't just tune them out. That makes no logical sense, right? But you can't act on what they say 100% of the time. So listen to them. Take it for what it is. Take it for a grain of salt. Try not to channel that negative energy onto other people. But listen, and if there's valuable critiques, take them.
Apply them.
You should be open to what those critiques are and what they could potentially offer you, but don't absorb that negative energy. Just listen and then share that story moving forward.
Ooh, nailed it.
On the money?
Pretty close. Like only like 2 seconds off. Nice.
2 seconds before or after?
After.
Oh.
Let it run over.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your discretion in allowing me 2 seconds.
Well, you know, I didn't want to just have to, you know, hit the eject button on you, but...
Okay, well, I'll take the timer.
Are we timing? I forget how we wanted to do these.
We
just let it rip. Oh. All right, Jake, you're up.
Okay, well, I have experienced a lot of this firsthandedly, you know, graduating from Walsh with like pre-med degree. Everybody's like, oh, well, what the hell? Why aren't you going to medical school?
Yeah.
Like, are you not following through on what you set out to do or what? And honestly, I don't find it to be in the cards right now. You know, maybe in a few years from now, maybe I'll walk down that path or not, because I find what we're doing now way more stimulating and to my own mind and imagination. So, like, through the sciences, it's kind of like cutthroat, and everybody like just wants to be the best instead of like try to harness everybody and get everybody's back and bring everybody up. So fundamentally, I feel like that can be very disruptive and destructive on to your own character. So I wasn't myself for a long time, probably 4 or 5 years, and recently I feel like I've really found myself again, and I tried to live with the mantra of you just have to live each day to the fullest of the potential. So you like wake up, and I heard Jordan Peterson say, once you wake up every day, you have to ask yourself, what do I have to achieve in this day? So when I go to bed tonight, I know that today was successful. So you don't lay awake. So
right.
I find that very interesting, because like what you were saying, Jan, of
there's like this one way to live. Some people have like this mantra of like, oh, 9 to 5, you get married, you have kids by like 26. If you don't, you're a failure or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that is very close-minded to think, oh, my way is the best way and it is the only way.
Right.
And I feel like people will get entrapped in that. And oftentimes people want others to grow up, and it's like, well, what are we trying to like reach for if you have to completely give away all your dreams?
Yeah.
You just
right.
put them through the shredder? Like, are you supposed to?
Well, what I think that that pushes people into is that we end up talking about our dream,
mm-hmm.
and it starts from a really young age, I think, right? So you start talking about your dream, and from the very first time you look at, like, your parent, whether it's, you know, an adoptive parent, your biological father, mm-hmm. mother, whatever, or it could be, like, grandfather, an authority figure in your life. The first time you look at an authority figure in your life and you say, I want to be a doctor, and they go, you know, you're from a 15-person school in BFE, West Virginia, you're never going to be a doctor.
Right.
You're like, aw. And then the more times that you're told no, 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 it accumulates into this just mentality where it's like, oh, this is all I'm capable of.
Right.
Even though your gut might be pulling you in a different direction and being like, no, you should definitely do this. This is where you fit in. We override it. And we're like, nope, you know, this is where I fit in. This is what yeah. I've been told the entire time. So like, one thing that I'm hoping with this episode is that we're just giving people permission to step outside of
mm-hmm.
if you're listening to this right now and your gut has been telling you to try something for years and you've been afraid to do it, I'm telling you right now that if you get in contact with us, we will do everything that we can to help you try to take that leap.
Yeah.
Because we believe in that kind of stuff.
Mm.
So and, I won't go too much further into that.
It's like that whole like grow up mantra that people try to have, and it's like, okay, so I can just be your average, ordinary, like, miserable person. Mm-hmm. Or I could continue to live in my own, like, childlike wonderment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that once I, like, kind of made that mind shift, and it really has happened since I've been hanging out with Jan and even RJ more, of just, you know, you don't get entrapped in just, like, living and pushing to just be this sterile person. You can actually be a young, vivacious person that you want to be and yeah. just harness and it.
Yeah, I don't even think you need to be young. You know what I mean? Right. Our perception of life right yeah, now yeah. is almost built on the fact that we like are still looking at humans dying in their 40s.
Yeah.
When we live to, you know, I think the average life expectancy now is like 77 or something mm-hmm. like that.
Or even higher than that.
Or even higher than yeah. that, well, right? But we predicate our lives on like, hey, by the time you're middle-aged, you know, or when you're in yeah. your 30s or your 40s, you should be established, you should have all this other kind of stuff going on. But that's built on the fact that you might die in your 50s.
Well, one really interesting thing is I heard a statistic that human lifespan is, or life expectancy is adding 4 months a year right now. Right now. So right. if you can like get that to like 6 months a year, and then if you could reach that to like you're adding like a whole year each year, theoretically like people would never die.
Yeah, you'd never die.
Isn't that weird?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's odd.
The were you done with all your? I don't want to intrude.
Oh, I think I'm pretty much done.
Nice.
I think the one line that Jan said of don't turn away from that person that's a naysayer is important, because Jordan Peterson also said two brains are far more capable of things than one brain. Even in that whole conversation, and you go over 10 points, and you knew 9 out of those 10 points, but you didn't know that other one,
mm-hmm.
At least you know one more point that you never knew before.
That's true. Very true. See, I look at all this so much differently than you guys.
Shoot.
The thing is I've always come to the, like, my two base realizations, at least when we're talking about naysayers in the realm of career, like career choice.
Okay.
Which is mm-hmm. basically kind of what we're there. You're in most cases, you are either going to be a producer or a servicer.
Okay.
And I find that if you know what you're going, your which field you're going into, the naysayers are more on the side of a producer than a servicer. So you go to school to be a doctor, you're servicing people. People come to you no matter what, as long as you can, you know, or a mechanic. People are going to have cars for the foreseeable future, probably in your lifetime. Right. So if you choose a job that, you know, if you're capable at doing it. So basically, if you're a servicer, then you're going to run into people that naysay you based on your personal situation or your capabilities. You're failing all of your medical classes in high school. You still look at your parents and you say, hey, I want to go to school to be a doctor, but you failed chemistry 3 times over. They're most likely going to naysay you based on that information, not because of the job inherently itself.
Right.
But if you're a producer, as in producing entertainment to be consumed, goods to be consumed, anything like that, the naysayers come from, well, where is the need and the demand for what you're producing?
Right.
So, like us, we get naysay, well, who's listening to the podcast? Who wants those podcasts? If there's nobody there, you don't have a job.
Right.
If you go to school to be a doctor, a mechanic, anything like that, well, they already inherently know who your demographic is. That's coming to you.
My grandpa, when I was deciding between like the Marine Corps and the Air Force and all this other kind of stuff, he was like, I'm going to die of cancer, essentially. Mm-hmm. And he was like, this is what I want you to do. This is like my death wish. And I was like, oh, he's like,
don't you do that to
me. You're pulling that card. Yeah. And so like, I didn't end up joining the Marine Corps, obviously, because I ended up in the Air Force. But one of the things that he told me was like, if you want to make sure that you're always going to be able to feed your family, he was like, either get into medicine or get into being a funeral director. Mm-hmm. He's like, people are always going to be sick. People are always going to be
taxes.
Dying. Yep, or taxes. Yep, taxes and death. Are yeah. Guarantees in life.
So right. my point to saying that is
taxes actually,
is but. If you one of your careers fit in those two demographic, if you're producing something and you go into the mentality knowing that people are going to automatically give you shit because you're producing something that needs to be consumed for you to make a living, then it kind of makes that easier on you, or it makes it easier on me, personally speaking, knowing that, you know, okay, I want to produce something. It drives me to make better content because I know that is then in turn, you know, my livelihood goes up based on the more people and the higher quality of the what I produce in the end.
Yeah, it drives
so
the artist.
So when people naysay me, well, you know, people aren't going to listen to this. People may not like that. I kind of think back to the way that, you know, streaming and video games have exploded in the last 5 to 10 years. Nobody ever sat there and was like, yeah, you know, I'm going to play my Xbox in front of hundreds of thousands of people, and they're going to consume that hour on hour on hour for days, for weeks, for months, for years, paying me to basically just play video games for them. But now, you know, those people stuck with it. They produced their own market. They made their own demand. And no part of listening to the people or parents or friends or relatives or whatever saying, hey, you need to get your ass out from behind that desk and, you know, go to school to be a doctor, for the person that sat there and said, well, you know, my friends really like doing this. There's individuals on the internet that are supporting me. They like what I do. I'm good at my craft. I'm good at this video game. I'm good at entertaining people. And now it's to the point, like I had said before, where obviously you have the top of the 1%, like Ninja, who is extremely good at their video game, but then now has, you know, $1 million Adidas contracts. You know,
PR.
He was at the ball drop. Millions of kids know him. But then you have now that market's opened up to people who are just entertaining to watch, not because of what they play, but because of who they are. So there's people like Tim the Tap Man, if anybody is listening to that and knows, made the Super Bowl commercial a week ago. I mean, I'm assuming there's a lot of people that watch a Super Bowl commercial. Who is that bald guy in the beard on the tractor in the middle of the field? But I knew who he was. And that meant more to me than probably most other things. But the point to all of it is if you know that you fit into that demographic, knowing that people are going to give you shit not based on who you are or the career choice, but just based on the fact that you have to produce something good. And then if you have confidence in yourself and you have that, you know, drive to constantly change and tailor your product and what you're producing into something mm-hmm. that is consumable, you can make your own market.
Yeah. I agree.
And that's how I saw it.
Do you have any thoughts, Jake?
Please excuse Jan. He's being a jackass and he lost his mic. Please commence.
I'm sure you're enjoying that dichotomy that
RJ made. For those of you guys that just heard all of that, the microphone fell off of my face.
Oh, don't worry.
His ear fell off.
Out.
Okay. And then, so Jacob, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree with that. 100%, Jan.
I mean, that's just kind of how I see it. I've always been someone who knew that they didn't want to work a 9-to-5 yeah. in that type of job. Yep. I want to work with people and produce something that people want. I feel like, personally speaking, I would get very bored in a situation where it's like, okay, you came in because you need me, not because you want me.
Right.
Right.
Well, and then that inertly is just artistry.
Yeah. I've always been, I would say, an artsy individual who liked that. Like, yeah. I like entertaining mm-hmm. people, but was I good at drawing? No. Could I play an instrument? Nope. Got kicked out of band. Could I sing? Nope. Got kicked out of choir. I was politely asked to leave choir. So, at least I can talk. And so I'm very grateful for that. And I'm good at talking. I like talking to people. And I think, you know, if you can find something you're good and you feel that you're talented at and you can make it into something that you're passionate about, that you can make other people passionate about, yeah. then you make your own market. And then there's the sky's the limit on, you know, what type of money and how you can, mm-hmm. you know, structure your own life after that.
Yeah. I think so. Like in closing, I think that the main points here, right, are A, don't turn away from the naysayers,
yeah,
because they may have valuable critiques to offer you, right, and a lot of them, like you said, may be involved in other areas where they're looking at things from a different perspective
mm-hmm.
than you are,
mm-hmm.
right. So step one, don't turn away. Listen to them, but don't absorb the energy.
Yeah.
Okay. The second one is that regardless of whether you are like the whole college trade school or you're a producer or a servicer, do not believe that the other side of the fence is greener or less fertile because you're stuck in your way.
Yeah. Right?
Don't crap on other people's dreams just because you have accomplished something in your specific avenue yeah. and that's what works for you
mm-hmm.
because that's making you happy, but it may not be what's making other people yeah. happy. Everybody's life path is different, and the point that
so that's a major point. Everybody's different.
Yep,
we are all unique individuals.
What is it? 7 billion plus people on the planet yeah, now.
So,
yeah, so there's 7 billion individual timelines going on
mm-hmm.
at the same time. They're all
different.
Infinitely complicated.
If we were all the same, life would be very, very boring.
Yeah. Yeah. Every now
there's
and
a
then,
need for both.
Every now and then, you need an Elon Musk smoking a joint with Joe
there
Rogan.
You go.
To really shake the world up.
Yeah.
And then what I'll kind of end on is just from us three personally, if there's anybody out there that's listening to this right now that is in a job field that they went to school for and they're not happy with it at all, here's what I'll tell you. You're listening to a podcast right now in an incubator in downtown Canton, where we actually have a corporate consulting model and we're working with businesses and we're doing all that other stuff, from a nurse with a clinical psych minor, a pre-med with a double major in chem and bio, right?
I was a bio major with a chem minor.
Okay, so bio major, chem minor.
Two classes away from chem major, but...
So bio and chem
yeah,
minor. And then,
don't sound so butthurt.
And then, and then sports management.
Yep.
Right? None of us are traditionally trained communication people, but mm-hmm. one of our favorite things is to tell people that we have street degrees
mm-hmm.
in communication because we got passionate about it,
mm-hmm.
we learned about it, and we took the leap. So if you have that feeling in your gut that you're like, I'm really good at this, but it's not necessarily what I went to school for, and it's going to
yeah.
throw a lot of people off, reach out and give us a talk. I mean, mm-hmm. we have I take phone calls from people all the time. Mm-hmm. I know RJ is always willing to talk to people, and so is Jacob. So if you're questioning something right now and want to reach out and try to get a little bit more help with what you're thinking, by all means.
Yeah, anytime.
Contact info is in the, mm-hmm. in the show notes.
Social media, emails,
take,
whatever.
Take the leap of faith.
Yeah, you never know where it's going to lead. I promise you that. I promise that there are some crazy things that can happen if you decide to actually take a leap. It has to be calculated. But sometimes you get trapped in analysis and then you never end up doing anything.
We'll give it to you straight.
Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't think that you're capable of doing anything except for
I'll just... If I think it's dumb, I'll tell you it's dumb.
So on that note...
Doesn't mean I'm wrong, but...
On that note, until we get the chance to hang out with you guys next time, keep doing what you're doing and keep chasing that apex.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. That was a good one.
Maybe.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I think that's...